It is 6 o'clock. I do not have the waiting room on, so people can just hop in through the meeting and hopefully we don't get bombed. So that'll make it so I can focus a little bit more, not watching that waiting room at the same time. So, okay, it is 6 p.m. and I will call to order the Town of Heath Select Board meeting, virtual meeting. This is February 1st, 2022. And the first item is the identification of callers. Since the room is getting pretty filled, I'm just gonna go ahead and introduce, do a roll call on the select board members and the town coordinator and ask the town coordinator to just make a list of the other attendees. So myself, Robin Provost Carlson, I am here. We have Sue Lively.
Here.
We have Brian DeVries.
Here.
And town coordinator is Helma Sumner.
I'm here.
Thank you. Okay, review of the agenda. I do not have any changes. Helma, is there anything that you have that we need to change?
The only thing is it's in the mail, but to make a decision about whether to continue the E911 services.
Yep. And Sue, anything for you on the agenda?
No, I don't think so.
Brian?
I think we need to keep focused on what we're going to do about the salt shed.
Yeah.
And let that drop.
Okay, anything else?
I guess that's it for me.
All right. Okay, so we have a full agenda for the evening and we have one appointment that is at 7:30 p.m. I set up my clock so I watch for that. We're gonna start with public comment. I have a few opening remarks that I'd like to share with everybody in regards to public comment. I'd like to remind everybody that this is public comment. We have of a select board meeting, we have actual public comment rules that were on the website, if everybody has had an opportunity to take a look at that. Oh, I guess I should also mention, I'm sorry, that somebody is recording this meeting tonight. So there is a recording being done. And we're going to have a time limit for public comment of 3 minutes. I'm going to try to really stick with that so we can stay on target tonight. I am going to also point out that the rules for public comment state that comments during this portion of the evening need to be only on items that are listed on the agenda. And for tonight, knowing that there are certainly people here who I assume want to speak on behalf or about the AT&T case, I am going to allow that to happen. However, I am going to remind the select board members that since this is not on our agenda, we're not allowed to speak to it. So while I'll allow those comments, assuming that they're done in a respectful way, I do have to just remind everybody that it is not on our agenda for tonight, so we're not able to talk about it. And I'm just gonna, again, ask people that it be done respectfully. This isn't a time for argument, and it's public comment only. So I'll put the timer on for 3 minutes for folks. And if you get to that 3 minutes, I'll kind of give you a little wave so you know you got to kind of wrap it up. We did have some individuals that asked for an opportunity to speak tonight. So I'm going to go through those individuals first and then we'll open it up to whoever else wants to speak. So let's see. First, we had a request. I know that our fire chief is here somewhere. Nick, did you still want to speak tonight?
Yes.
I'll let you take the floor.
Thank you. I'll just be very brief. Nick Anzoni, Heath Fire Chief, just speaking from a term of public service, looking at public service, public emergency infrastructure. If we have an opportunity to get a tower in town, that would allow us at some point to put a repeater on that. It would definitely benefit the town in terms of radio communications. The new radio system is not quite as robust as the old system, and the old system had its problems, especially the northern half of Heath. Same thing in Coleraine. Maine, a few other towns. They got some dead spots. And the system was never built. So we have an opportunity to get a tower in that would enhance our communications capability and also help with cell service, which is also very helpful in emergency services as well. That's just something I would like to see folks consider. That's all I have tonight. Thank you.
Thanks, Nick. A couple other things. If you're not muted, please do so, because I'm getting a little bit of feedback. So if everybody could remember to make sure that they're muted. And the other is, and Nick did this, thank you. Just please give your full name and your address so that we can keep appropriate notes. I say we, which is really Hilma, but if people could do that, I'd appreciate that. Kate did ask for an opportunity. You want to go, Kate?
Yes, thank you, Robin. My name is Kate Peppard, and I live at 20 Knott Road. Thank you so much for the opportunity to make a public comment here tonight. I'd just like to acknowledge that though my topic is not directly on the agenda or the items on the agenda, it does regard the meeting you'll be holding in executive session tomorrow. And I just want to say, I'd like to acknowledge that you are all doing just a huge amount of work and that it does not go unrecognized by me. And I thank you so much for your service. What I would like to say in regards to this work and service is that in this community and this style of government, I wrote this down, so I'm reading, so that's why I'm not looking directly at the screen. You do not have to operate in a vacuum. You do not have to go it alone. The various boards and committees are filled with talented, intelligent, and qualified volunteers who are willing to share their expertise and time to help disperse the burden of governing over all of the pieces of the town puzzle. As a citizen, I expect to bring issues and ideas to the various committees and boards that they are relevant to. And I expect that the time, effort, and expertise of these boards and committees will be subsequently respected by the select board. I assume that you, for instance, would bring the Board of Health in if you're making decisions regarding the pandemic, or that you would talk to the library trustees and librarian if you're making decisions about the town library. It is assumed that you would lean heavily on the decisions by these boards in various matters, and that your leadership decisions would be informed by the groundswell of knowledge coming from the boards and committees, and ultimately the public that you serve. Otherwise, what is the point? I was disappointed to learn that the planning board has been left out of your attempts to negotiate and settle with AT&T. The planning board put in an untold number of hours into working on this application and ultimately determined that it was not a variance request they would grant, and for good reason. No surprise that AT&T sued. They are legal bullies, but it is important to note that the specialized legal counsel who consulted on this believes that he can win this case. We can win. No negotiation or settlement needed. At this point, I ask and request, pretty much implore that you include the planning board in your process, as they have put their heart and souls into this. The planning board deserves a seat at your table. It is important to support and respect the work your boards and committees do to keep this democratic process healthy and to keep the public trust in government alive. We are all on the same team. We all love this town and we all want to live our lives in the best way here. So please allow the voices of the planning board to come forward and participate. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Kate. Thank you.
Jeez.
Let's see, one of the other folks, hold on here. Anne, did you wanted to speak? All right. Oh, Anne Emmett.
Will has to unmute me.
Yeah.
I am also going to talk about the cell tower, and I wanted to support a public statement that the Board of Selectmen has put together. Both the Board of Selectmen and the Planning Board and AT&T Mobility have apparently worked very hard and negotiated for some months and have come up with a settlement which all three have signed in separate documents. It's an identical settlement. To be presented to the court, unless it already has, was signed on January 21st. If I may, I'd like to read the statement, and I'll try to read it fast. If I get close to my 3 minutes, I'll stop. After careful and considerable deliberation, the select board has determined to resolve a litigation titled New Singular Wireless, doing business as AT&T Mobility versus Town of Heath et al. In the best interest of the town, litigation involves an application by AT&T for a special permit to construct a 180-foot telecommunications tower at Zero Road Road, and the planning board's decision denying the special permit. Planning board's denial was based on application of the town's zoning bylaw, which limits the height of telecommunications towers to 110 feet. Litigation challenging was brought in federal district court, alleging that denial violates provisions of the Federal Telecommunications Act. The act prohibits the town from taking action that would effectively prohibit the expansion of telecommunications service. While the select board respects the decision of the planning board in seeking to enforce the provisions of the town bylaws, select board also recognized the burden the litigation would place upon the town financial and administrative resources and risk to the town in the light of clear mandate of the federal law. And I will skip part of that statement, although I would encourage people to read all of it. They have reached an agreement. All three of those organizations have negotiated very hard, including the select board and the zoning board, or the planning board. The federal law is pretty complete about the FCC's right to make those decisions, and the Spectrum Act, which is signed in 2012 to enhance the growth of national telecommunications, especially on cell towers.
You're at your 3
zoning laws. I'm out of time. Okay. Okay.
You can.
The final thing is that every step in this process incurs legal costs that the town is going to it'll be able to afford.
Right. Thanks, Anne. Thanks, Anne. Is Doug here?
No.
No. Okay. He had at one point asked to speak. Okay. So no, Doug.
I'm not. I'm here.
Okay, hold on a second, Bob. So the next was Will Emmett. Will asked, and then Bob, you'll be next.
There we go. Again, this is a letter that I submitted to the select board, but I'll read from it. And dear members of the Heath Select Board and Planning Committee, I am speaking in support of the application by AT&T to construct and operate a cell tower in Row Road. There are several reasons that I feel this way. First, I'm a member of the Heath Volunteer Fire Department, and as such, I depend on the Motorola pager that was supplied to me by the department for calls. I reside in a valley east of number 9 road and have a difficult time receiving adequate signal. I have to depend on a fellow firefighter to alert me by phone, which leaves little or no time to respond. Installation of emergency communications equipment on the proposed tower would be invaluable to this end. Second, I spend a fair amount of time in the woods and mowing fields and back. I keep a walkie-talkie on hand to communicate with my spouse in the event of an emergency. Since we have no cell coverage here, that's our only alternative. Cell service would be far better and would permit direct 911 access in an emergency. Third, along with many of our Heath neighbors, we have switched to our phone service over to the new voice over internet offered through WIP City. Our Verizon landline had deteriorated to a point that it was almost unusable. Unfortunately, when power is lost, our current phone service goes away as well. Cell coverage would bridge this problem, allowing emergency communication. I also want to add that when we first moved here, I relish the idea of no cell service up here. because, you know, coming from downstate, you have the problem of distracted driving, et cetera, et cetera. It's much more common in populated areas, and I was looking forward to not having to deal with that. But service with the fire department and time spent alone in the woods has changed my mind. I do not believe that cell service is going to destroy the quality of life in Heath. Rather, it will improve same. Thank you for your hard work, all committees, on this issue. Sincerely, William T. Emmett, 284 Number 9 Road.
Thanks, Will.
Yeah.
So Doug is here now, and Bob had asked to speak. So Bob, you want to speak? And then Doug, I know you had asked prior if you could speak tonight. I don't know if you still want to tonight, but if so, then you would be after Bob.
Okay, is Doug on?
Yeah, he just got here.
Okay, well, perhaps he can speak for the planning board, but folks, I at least didn't get on this meeting to discuss this issue. We're still in conversations with the Board of Selectmen, and I'm kind of amazed that we're kind of doing a PR job on both sides tonight. But I have to make one statement, which I think is very important. The statement issued by the Board of Selectmen, as far as the planning board is concerned, we unanimously turned down this request because it does not conform to either our bylaws or even the emotional, psychological intent of the particular bylaw. We are not the people that negotiate with AT&T. But that was our position, and of course, continues to be our position. We do believe that litigation is worthwhile. However, we are not a party to any litigation. Thank you.
Doug, did you still want an opportunity to speak? You had asked that you wanted to speak as a member of the public.
I'm sorry I wasn't here on time. Time got away from me. I think I would rather wait until after we have our meeting to discuss this with the select board. The one thing I will say is that the planning board spent hundreds of hours working on this project, and it's not a simple thing that everybody's going to have cell service. This tower did not do what Heath needs it to do. In fact, the tower in Rowe is gonna serve Will Emmett a lot better than this tower, which probably, looking at the maps, would not do what Will Emmett wants it to do. So it's not just like we're gonna get a cell tower and it's gonna save, fix all kinds of things. We weighed all the options, and we made a decision based on the quality of the application, and there were a lot of holes. There's a lot of things they didn't do. It doesn't mean we can't have a cell tower in Heath. It means we can't have this cell tower in Heath. So other than that, I mean, and I also want to say that planning board did not get to negotiate this. The planning board has been basically locked out of this conversation, and hopefully we'll fix that tomorrow. I don't know what the status is. I don't know if the case is settled or not. I don't know anything about it, so I can't really talk about the case. It's also still an executive session.
So just Doug, since you weren't here at the beginning, this is just public comment, and people were just having the opportunity to speak about anything in public comment. And so I just remembered that you had asked during the week. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to make sure you had that opportunity before I opened it up to the general room. But it's not a back and forth at all. It's not a conversation about AT&T.
Okay. I didn't know what I missed, but I would like to speak for the record next week after we figure things out with the select board. I'd like to open it up to, you know, so everybody can hear, you know, we've decided.
Okay. So are there other folks? Let's see, Bill.
Hi, I'm Bill Fontes, and I'm at 64 Taylor Brook Road. I just wanted to speak a little bit about something that I just heard Doug talk about. And I actually have the coverage map that was issued by AT&T. And with the current tower, the way it's planned, there are still large pockets of town that will have no cell service. So to say that this tower is going to give Heath cell service is largely inaccurate. That's all I wanted to say.
Is there anybody else who would like to speak during public comments? Tara, I think I saw you first.
Yes. Tara.
Go ahead, Tara, and then we'll go to Chief McDonough.
Yeah, Tara Mason, 43 Knott Road. I just want to, again, reiterate the fact that this application does have some big holes in it, and nobody is against public safety in Heath. We would like the application to be complete, and them for, you know, there's question marks, and I don't think it's unreasonable for those to be answered. I think that's all. This is an emotionally charged issue for a lot of us, and I just want to express my caution that we proceed with caution on this. Thank you.
Thank you. Chief McDonough.
So I'm going to be very brief. I didn't write anything down. I didn't put anything together for this. I am not a Heath resident. I'm not trying to sway one way or the other from a public safety standpoint. And from what I perceive people want, or a lot of people want, how many of us entered town off of Route 2 in Charlton on any of your Brook Road and see people finishing up cell phone calls because they don't get service coming up the hill? I'm not advocating using your cell phone while you're driving, because there are hands-free devices, but that happens. It happens every day. You can see that they plow it. They make room for people to stop there. From a public safety standpoint, I don't know what coverage this is gonna have. When that meeting was on, I was on Zoom on my phone, and it wasn't very large, so I didn't see the coverage area. That's not my business. That's AT&T's business. If it's not gonna cover a lot, they wouldn't be thinking about putting a tower there. That's not for us to decide. If they're gonna waste their money or whatever, if that's what people think, let them do it. They've made a lot of money putting towers up. And sure, it could all be about money for them, but from a public safety standpoint, there's been numerous accidents on Route 8A after hours, at night, when somebody could come knocking on your door. If you're an older person, would you answer it? I don't know. I'm not expecting anybody. You might not answer the door when somebody needs help. You might not be home. Last select board meeting, I had to leave toward the end of it. There was an accident between the two Jacobs Road intersections. The guy had to go 100 yards, 200 yards. I'm not sure, I didn't measure it, to the house to call. I then had to drive up the road a little ways after everything was secure. Fortunately, he was not injured, or no claims of any injury, but to call his girlfriend to pick him up, because when his truck went on the flatbed, towed away, he had nobody picking him up down at Stagecoach. He had no way to get home in Vermont. He has children. He was coming from Berkshire East. What if his kid was in the car? What if this kid was injured? Now you have to make a choice. Do you leave a kid in the vehicle while you go down and make a call? Do you take your injured kid with you in the cold, 15 degrees, windy? You think about it. Would you want that to be your kid, your wife, your husband, your spouse, or anybody that you know? That's all I have to say. It's a needed thing up here.
Thank you, Chief. Now I don't see everybody. So who else? I'm going to do people who haven't spoken yet. Barbara Rode. Barbara, go ahead.
Thank you, Robin.
1 second, Barbara. Can I just interject because there's new people coming in. So we're in public comments still. We're keeping comments to under 3 minutes. We're allowing for comments on the AT&T lawsuit if someone would like to make one. However, it is not on our agenda and we will not, the select board will not be discussing it. So I'm just giving out those little updates for people who are new to hopping in, and let's try to get everybody who wants a first shot at speaking before we go back to people. But so sorry, Barbara, go ahead.
No problem. Thank you, Robin. Thank you for the opportunity to speak. I have a very brief statement, but it's not as eloquently as prepared as I've just heard. I want to say a thank you to our townspeople who have been following this along. I haven't, so I don't know all the details. And I appreciate hearing some of the details. I'm grateful to follow Chief McDonough because he actually said what I thought I came to say. I came to just address the need for cell service in case that is a question. I come from a different, several layers of perspective that I'd like to add. So jumping into a little bit of what I prepared, as you all know, I'm attached to the fire department through my husband, so I can echo what the fire department said in communication lapses. As far as what Chief McDonough just said, I didn't prepare this, but as a mother of four drivers who since moved out of town, we had more than half a dozen occasions of children stuck in mud off the road. One went off the road and thankfully survived hitting a tree by accident, all of which had to walk themselves home in those circumstances and or to phones of strangers, et cetera, which is never a comfort for a parent. All, you know, I can't reiterate how much we need cell service here, whether we get a partial tower, some tower, any tower, two towers. I don't know the details of the tower, but I do appreciate the planning board looking into that on their job perspective, the town coordinator, the town select board, et cetera. But my notes here, I have long lost count of how many times we have had a knock on our door to use our landline for the following reasons: cyclists who had a bike malfunction, snowmobilers in need of assistance. We had a seasonal camper who was in breathing distress, who literally got himself down the street and landed on our couch completely out of breath where we did 911. That was quite a terrifying experience. Drivers stuck in the snow, ice, or mud needing a tow, people in need of directions after they lost their way. Those are just the ones that are where cell service is not just for us heathens, but for others who use our land for all sorts of recreation and stuff coming through. For my personal experience, providing professional services to clients in need is often difficult due to poor or garbled connections, no service at all, dropped calls on internet providers, and constant static on the Verizon landlines that we're all dealing with. So when those go down, we need sufficient cell. I would love cell on my land because when I'm outside tending to the land, I can't hear from my parents around the corner that are in need, they're in their 80s. So just to be in your house tied to your Wi-Fi setup, you know, we have acres up here that I'm constantly outside in the garden. And what Will Emmett talked about being across your own property and reaching your own loved one if in need, that is an absolute need. Personally, I feel like we've been waiting decades for cell service in this area. And I'm rushing.
3 minutes. And, your 3 minutes
and
is
if
up.
It's here,
wrap it up.
I support the select board to settle this and lower the cost of this unfortunate legal lawsuit against the town so we're not paying for the fighting. And please promote as much service as we can to our citizens. Thanks.
Great. Thanks, Barbara. Gloria, I see your hand.
You do. It's the first time I've ever done it. It's awesome.
I can see you.
I know. Well, I can see you, but I just wanted to say this has nothing to do with self-service. Later in the meeting, you're meeting with the Library Board of Trustees and to talk about moving the library to 18 Jacobs Road, the old school building. And I just wanted to ask the select board and the trustees that before a decision is made, could you please poll the residents of Heath? The library has everybody, a list of everybody who has the library card. I think it's really important to judge how the people of Heath feel about moving the library, because we are the community that uses it, and it is a community, and I think it's a big deal if you're going to move it to the school. And I can't exactly imagine making a decision that that serious of a decision without getting input. It just doesn't even make any sense to me at all. So please do a survey of the library patrons. Don't rush into this. I consider this a seriously big deal, and it will really impact me if it moves to the school. So, and I think you need to hear from everybody else too. Thank you.
Thanks, Gloria. Okay, Jesse, I see you, Jesse.
Well, Leah, like Tara said, I'm on Knott Road here too. And like Tara said, we're not opposed to, you know, safety. We all understand safety. But the problem we have here now is just the way the select board has acted throughout this whole process. If it wasn't for the accidental release of a recording, we'd have no idea that they had already settled with and completely cut out every resident that was most closely affected by this. And they would, you know, that's how the planning board found out that they were trying to settle, was the fact that the recording was accidentally released. And they, you know, the select board also specifically tried to cut us out of the process altogether when they knew full well we wanted to hire our own lawyer and protect our homes. You know, that's basically what it is. The select board has not acted honorably through any of this.
Thanks, Jesse. All right, who am I?
Doug.
Who am I missing? Doug, is there anybody else who hasn't spoken? If not, Doug. Go ahead, Doug.
Very, very quickly. Sure. There are a bunch of rumors. There are a bunch of inaccuracies, even in the discussion we've had just now. The people on Knott Road volunteered and hired lawyers, two of them, to pay for this. This was not going to cost the town money. All I want to say before next week, we're not going to solve this tonight. We've spent hundreds of hours working on this. Please, if you're going to comment about this, and if you're going to share comments on the web and talk to each other, read the documents and listen to 8 hours of public hearings that we already had. We're rehashing stuff that we spent 8 hours on. It's recorded. It's on the planning board site. Educate yourselves. Look at the coverage map, which is in the application, and you'll see that it only is going to add like 15%. It's not going to add coverage all over the place. There are better ways to do this. And we didn't turn down this application because we don't want a cell tower. We turned it down because it was a bad way to do the cell tower. That's why we turned it down. And the application was poor, and they did not look at alternate sites. And everybody has to understand that, and all that data is out there for you to read. But please don't start saying that it's going to cost the town money, saying all of these things. I would have had cell service, now I won't. Look at the information, inform yourself before you start to discuss it and get all worked up about it. All right, so let's talk about it next week. I'm sure all of the executive session meeting notes will be published next week, and everybody will be able to analyze.
Won't.
Oh, it won't.
Okay, we're just.
I'm sorry.
Oh. Yeah, but okay. We're not. Let's.
All right. That's. I'm sorry. This is, so maybe I'm it
gonna,
won't.
This
but
is. I'm
all that
information end.
Is there. Look I'm, at the public information before you get carried away. That's all.
So, public comment meaning comments, personal comments from this point on. If there's anybody left that has personal comments. This is still under executive session. It's not a negotiation spot. It's not for debate. And at some point when executive minutes are going to be released, that will be noted. That information will be shared, but not until that time. Jesse, if you have a quick follow-up, I'll let it.
No, I just-
arguing.
Yeah, I don't know if everybody knows this, but you can get a battery backup for your phone. So you still have phone when the power goes out. If you've got the new Wi-Fi or the new fiber, you can just get online and look up battery backup for, you know, your computer, phone. It'll work.
Great. Thanks. Thanks, Jesse. All right. Hang tight. I'm looking through everybody. Is there anyone else who would like to make a public comment?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, go ahead. Yep.
Hello. Hi, everyone. I'm down on West Hosmer Road by the fairgrounds. I just want to say that in the interest of balance, when we have these different town committees and boards, it seems like if the planning board is making a recommendation, if the members of the planning board have put, as Doug says, you know, all this time and energy and research into a matter, I guess I feel strongly that there's a kind of autonomy and I don't know. I just feel like that's the planning board's job, is to really look into something, and that we're kind of, that the courtesy we want to extend to the autonomy of these boards and committees is to go with the recommendations, allow their research and consideration to lead us in the thinking. Otherwise, the select board overrides what, you know, is possible in terms of what these other boards are created for. So in terms of the balance of town governance, it seems like for this to work as a true conversation among equals is really to kind of weigh what the planning board is saying. So I'm hearing that, you know, that there are certain needs, but if the planning board is saying that actually the tower is not sufficiently fulfilling those needs, I would say that we should listen to their, we should give consideration to their recommendation, because it's actually their job to consider this and to see this through. So the question of need versus like what for a tower versus this specific tower, whether this tower fulfills that need, I think should be taken really seriously. And I guess as I'm listening to this conversation, I'm just wondering if like there's a certain amount of heat that is preventing folks from hearing each other fully. And that as a town and as members of this community, we don't need to be at odds if we just pull back a little bit and actually listen to what the planning board, whose job it is to advise us on this particular matter, has to say to us about the sufficiency of this tower to fulfill what they understand as the needs of the town residents. So I'm just weighing in as someone listening tonight. You know, I don't have any stake in this per se. I'm just responding to what I'm hearing tonight. And I feel like you all don't need to be at odds, but I guess I feel like it's the planning board that has a kind of, that's their job, is actually to advise us. And if we're not sufficiently hearing what is driving their advice, then we might not be well served in terms of our ability to listen. So that's all. Thank you.
Thank you. Jack.
Yeah, hi, I'm Jack Estes on Bray Road, and I want to reinforce Gloria's comments about looking for additional support or ideas from the community regarding any movement of the library from where it is now out to 18 Jacobs Road. In a way, I'm contradicting what Tweed just said, because if the trustees are the appointed group to make such decisions, I don't necessarily agree. I'm the president of the Friends of the Library, and we seem to have a difference of opinion about that. And I'm hoping that the select board will, as Gloria said, somehow get in touch with the community and find out what they really want. Thank you.
Thanks, Jack. Okay, folks, is there anyone else who'd not have a chance that would like to? I'm gonna try to wrap this up. Okay. Seeing nobody and hearing nobody yell at me, I'm gonna thank everybody that took the opportunity to speak, and I'm gonna close public comment for tonight. But certainly, again, thank you, each of you, for coming forth and sharing your information, and the select board will certainly be continuing our conversations as needed in executive. And at some point, there'll be definitely conversations in open session as well. Okay, the next item we have is we have review of minutes. I'll be curious to see how many people drop off. We have about 9 sets. Ooh, Hilma? Yeah, go ahead, Hilma.
Just a suggestion. I'm wondering if you folks want to deal with all the other business first and then see how much time is left to review minutes and then go as far as you can with that.
I was going to suggest the same thing.
That's fine. If you want to table or put those back behind for now, that's fine. We can move on to some of the other items in the other business. And I should say that I think we're tabling one of these items. Is that correct, Helma? Are we? I should have said
that's
that earlier.
Correct. The second item.
So Parks and Recs committee charge is going to be tabled. We have a little bit more we need to do on that before we have that on the agenda again. So that one is tabled. So just a reminder, if everybody can mute again, since we're done with public comments, that would be great. So the first item is the senior program director job classification. All right, Sue and Brian. Hilma, you wanna get us started what we have here?
I'm sorry, you were broken up a little bit.
You wanna get us started and tell us what we have here?
Okay, well, I had resent a updated job description where there was input from the Council on Aging as well as you folks. And the part that was left was to do the job classification. I had sent that out again as well yesterday so that you folks could, if you hadn't already, be able to rate the position according to the job description so that hopefully the last piece can be completed in terms of giving it a pay grade.
Okay. Sue, Brian, did you guys have an opportunity to do that?
I did not. I just saw this yesterday and I did not have time to do this.
Okay. Sue, you?
Yeah, I have worked on it.
All right. So, Brian, do you want to have an opportunity to be able to grade it on your own, or do you want to have that conversation right now?
I think we can have it. I don't have a problem with it.
Okay. Sue, did you have a number that you came up with?
I did.
Want to share that?
No, I can't read it. It's too light. I can't see it. I came up with 385 for total.
Okay. That's interesting.
This is only the second time I've ever used this system, so I'm not sure how accurately I'm understanding each one of the categories, but
I don't think you're bad. I was right around 400. So we were pretty close. You want to have, do you have comments on it, Sue?
No, I didn't. I didn't have anything specific that I was commenting on when I was looking at it.
And are we done with the review of the job description?
I thought we were, yeah.
Yeah, okay. We're all good with that. I just want to make sure. Yeah.
So if we're in the 385 to 400 range, I got to find the step thing here. That would be around a step 11, maybe a 12. And there's a lot of people here. For people who can't see it, there's a job classification rating summaries thing that we're supposed to go through and rate people a position based on experience and supervision required and accountability and the physical environment, or that is a really high risk job. So there's a list of like 13 different things we have to consider. And then we have a pay grade scale that after you assign a numeral to it, kind of gives you an indication of what the pay scale might be, may fall.
Brian, do you have any thoughts, even though you hadn't had a chance to take a look at it?
We worked on the job description previously. I'm always higher than you guys, so I would take the high number of that.
Well, you know my feelings about this. I think that this needs an overhaul at some point in time, but it gives us at least a guide for now, right?
Yeah.
Hilma, any input?
Well, the one piece that I did not think to look up was what, like, for example, what the pay scale is that correlates with grade 11.
You want me to get? I have the chart in front of me.
Okay.
So on 11, the lowest number is 2105. The mid number is 2339. And the top number is 2811.
Okay, I don't know what the answer is. I don't know what the solution is, but I think you also have to keep in mind as you're grading this, what other employees are receiving.
Correct.
I'd rather not name the position, but there is a position that in some senses requires many more skills than this job description calls for. The employee holding the position has been here many, many years and is at a lower pay grade.
Yeah. So my recommendation for tonight is that we have an idea of where we're looking right now. And I'd like to be able to pull up all of the job positions that we have and what their grades are.
and just be able to take a look at that before we make a final decision on this, if that's a possibility. And that'll give Brian a chance to look at it too. Is that okay with you, Sue?
I would say it would be fine because from the as a member of the COA at this point, we're not really in a position that we're ready to actually hire somebody.
Right. Right.
Okay. We don't even know. I mean, you know, we still don't have the funding issue resolved. So
right. Right.
There's a lot of other pieces that need to be accomplished. So I think we're just headed in the right direction and we'll get there eventually.
Okay. All right. I'm happy with that.
I see Margaret shaking her head. So I guess I'm okay.
Helen, go ahead.
Oh, I just wanted to clarify. I'm not trying to say that I don't think the position is worth this grade.
No, that's not what I'm hearing. And I, okay. Even before you said that, my mind was made that this decision wasn't going to happen, or my input was going to be it wasn't going to happen tonight because I felt we needed a little bit more information and we need to just take a look at the pay scale and the grades for a number of positions as part of the whole budget season anyways. Okay, folks, so we're going to bring that back up again. We're going to get a little, Hilma's going to send us out some information to get a little bit more up to speed on that one. So Parks and Rec is being tabled. The next item on other business is Council on Aging request for room. And
I'd like to say something about that. Before we get into the, there's a survey attached in the mail. And there are names in there that I think should be taken out. I don't think people's names should be appearing in that.
Correct. So in regards to that item, my recommendation is that for what I was going to suggest is we asked for this to be sent to us. It has been sent to us. And in that same meeting where we asked for it to be sent, we also stated that it will be part of the conversation that we're going to have, the larger scale conversation about building use. So that is not on the agenda for tonight. So I wanted to at least accept that we, you know, to say that we received this and say thank you, and we can do that. We can pull names out. And then we will have that as part of our conversation in a couple weeks or whatever. When we talk about our schedule at the end of tonight, we'll figure out what day that's going to be. But when we have our conversation about building use, we would talk about this, I think, because we also have a request from the Municipal Light Board for a room as well, for an office space. So I don't think I don't think we can just start randomly figuring out some of these requests. We've got to do it as a big picture.
I was just concerned about the confidentiality of some of the respondents.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's fine. I agree. So if that's okay, Sue, did you have anything else like for tonight? Are you comfortable with that?
Yes. I hadn't thought about the confidentiality issue, which is, I think before that is released to the public. And we just thought it was really important that the select board get a chance to see what some of the comments were, because we really wanted this survey. We wanted the ideas and the comments and the priorities of the public to drive our decision-making and not have a decision and then let that drive the choices that we made.
Mm-hmm.
And that's I think that the way that we went about this was really successful in doing that. So we're just anxious to, because of the COVID issue, there's still so much that we can't do, but we're trying to lay all the groundwork that we possibly can.
Yeah.
To be ready when the day comes that we're set free.
Set free. No, that all makes sense.
Whenever that might be.
I know. Brian, is that good with you?
Yeah, that's fine. I just thought that the responses could be six people said this or.
Yeah.
And not their names down.
Their names. Yeah. No. Agree. Totally agree.
We will fix that.
Okay. And so we will make a list of items that we have to discuss as part of this whole building use conversation that we know we have to have as ASAP because of budgeting. All right, and thank you for Council on Aging for doing all of this work. This is greatly appreciated. Special town meeting possibility, Hilma.
Hey. The reason I put this on the agenda, I have also sent the information to Tom Lively as Finance Committee Chair and asked them to weigh in on it. Legal fees. We had voted $10,000 at annual town meeting. To date, we have approximately $1,000 left. We, of course, throughout the year have, I want to say small matters or, you know, momentary issues that we need to consult town council for. The primary expense is the lawsuit. In November, that part of the legal bill was $4,500. In December, the legal bill was $5,380. So as of December 31st, the town has spent $9,880 just on the lawsuit. We've had other legal expenses. We have approximately, I believe, $1,000 left in legal fees. So we do not have the money to pay the current invoice that was sent for the month of December. We are going to need thousands more dollars before July 1st. And it's a matter of we either overspend the account to pay our bills or we call a special town meeting. Or we go hope that the money tree has a heavier than usual crop.
So you said it went to Finance Committee. So we meet next, right? Next Tuesday.
Next Tuesday. Committee
meeting. Okay. All right. Mm-hmm. Brian, thoughts?
I had written down some other reason why we had something else to be brought up at a special town meeting. I'm trying to remember what it was. But I'll look back through my notes.
Okay. So are we suggesting we're going to have this conversation? Since you sent it to Tom, I'm assuming that means we're going to have this conversation on Tuesday night, next Tuesday night. I assume.
Well, yeah, if you want to wait until then.
If we've asked them for their input, I guess we need to get their input.
Yep. I didn't know if they were going to hold a meeting separately, but I haven't heard anything about that. So.
Okay. All right. Okay, so let's plan then that we will have that conversation on Tuesday. I see that we somewhat have an agenda. I don't know if you have timing set up for that meeting next Tuesday already. But we'll have to add that item to the agenda. Thoughts or questions, Sue?
No, I had asked Hilma about how this all worked before, so I think I'm fairly clear on it.
Okay. Brian, anything else on that?
No, I know there were a couple of things that I had thought about for a special town meeting that I want to
okay.
find.
Do you, Helma, do you, assuming that we're going to have to schedule one, are you looking for us to start looking at dates now or wait till we can meet with FinCom?
It doesn't hurt to look at dates now. The warrant has to be posted at least 14 days in advance. It's going to take another 1 to 2 weeks to pull together and review the warrant. So you're probably talking mid-March.
So like March 15th, what would it be? Well, no, we can't do it that night. Would it be on the same night that we usually have meetings, or would it be on a separate night or weekend or something?
We can do whatever.
It has to be in person. Keep that in mind.
Yeah. Well, let's think about that and then pick some dates on Tuesday when we're together.
So we're going to set the date on with the finance committee on Tuesday.
Yeah, and let's. That'll give me a chance to think of a couple things too. Maybe we'll have some other options that come up. But let's put our heads together, and so we have different ideas for next Tuesday. COVID-19 municipal concerns. We do have an update from the planning board in our mail.
Board of Health.
Board of Health.
I mean Board of Health. Why did, Jesus, I'm losing my mind. Thank you, sorry. Board of Health. It's because I'm reading the first piece of mail. Planning board, not Board of Health.
Sounds a little encouraging.
Board of Health, I know.
I have to get my hopes up, but.
did folks have a chance to take a look at that? So I had asked Helma just to reach out to Jean, since we hadn't really been able to talk for a while, just to get an update, and he did provide one for us. I don't know, is there anything else that the Board of Health would like to share tonight? I don't know if you want to talk. Sorry, I have a cat jumping in front of me again. Is there anything you want to share with us tonight from the Board of Health?
Hi, thank you. If you've gotten a recent update from Jean, then I would say probably not that at this time. Just appreciate your time in reviewing whatever information that he shares with you.
Yeah, great. Thanks. And just in general, there's let's see, overall positive cases are lower in Franklin County over the past 2 weeks compared to the previous 2 weeks. And this was as of Thursday. And good news to report that based on our zip code, it sounds like we are right on pace with the rest of the county with 80% vaccination rate. So yay, there you go. So everything looks good. And hopefully, let's see, seeing a downward trend possibly on Omicron. So good news from the Board of Health. Helma, did you have other items for COVID? Anything?
No, I did not.
Who?
No.
Brian.
I don't.
Colerain Heath capital expense agreement. So with that, we have a packet put together by Helma. You want to give us a rundown?
Huh? That's going to be a Zoom meeting, right?
Tomorrow, yes.
Yes.
Yep. Helma, you want to give us a rundown as to what you provided for us?
Well, what I provided for you was three pages from the regional school agreement that dealt with apportionment of expenses, in particular, looking at like shared capital costs. As you folks have probably seen, it outlines like how Ashfield and Plainfield share capital costs for Sanderson. It also lays out how Buckland and Shelburne apportion their capital costs for BSE. Based on those and based on what the our two school committee members had shared the last time they had met with the board, and what I remember Budge in particular saying, I drew up memo that I also sent of basically like of the first 4 years, you know, of getting this started. Well, for every year, it goes by percentage of students that each town has in the school. However, when we get to the fifth year, it takes like the average of the 5 years, and as it goes forward, it's the average of the most recent 5 years and that average. So for the first 4 years, the way I set it up, which seemed kind of equivalent to me, folks might disagree, Coleraine Select Board might disagree, but basically, you know, for the first year, it's like we've got a 1 year number and percentage. And then for the second year, that the first 2 years would be averaged together. Then you figure the percentage from each town. Third year, you have the three-year average. Fourth year, the four-year average. Then fifth year, it starts into the five-year average. So that's what I laid out in my memo. I sent my memo and the three pages that I sent you folks. I also sent to the Coleraine Town Administrator to share with his select board in preparation for the meeting tomorrow.
And thank you.
Do you folks what you want to do with it?
Great, thank you.
This follows the plan that's already in place for Ashfield and Plainfield and Buckland and Shelburne, right? It's the same.
Yes.
And it seems like we're pretty lucky walking into this because they don't currently have any outstanding capital expenses. So we're not trying to figure out how to work with those. It's just moving forward.
That's right.
It seems like a pretty clean entry into this.
I see up and down head shaking from Bob.
Yeah.
I see the head. And the there's Barbara, and another head shaking. So this is the only opportunity we have, the three of us, to talk before tomorrow, obviously. So Sue, do you have any questions that either Barbara or Bob, not to put them on the spot, but I will anyways, that they might be able to help with? Do you have any questions?
Unless they have something that they feel like we shouldn't do it this way. And I'm thinking from the head bobs, they're agreeing with us. So
yeah. Okay. Is that you want to speak, Bob, or is that just you want to speak?
Yes, I absolutely agree with you. It shouldn't involve a lot of legal fees because Buckland and Shelburne and Ashfield and Plainfield have sent this to a gazillion lawyers. It's been passed through town meetings. It has a history that is very clear, and I don't think it will. I'm certainly hoping it won't cost us hardly anything at all because it's very straightforward and follows a model not just for our district but for a number of other districts. It's been talked over and worked on forever and ever. So yes, I really, we had all spoken that that's the way to go. So thank you.
Thank you. Brian, did you have any questions for tonight in preparation for tomorrow?
No, I'm just glad we have something in writing that we can talk about.
I know.
Social.
And you won't be there, right?
Well, I'm going to try to be there for part of it, but I'm going to have Hilma open it up, and Brian, you'll have to chair it. Okay. Sorry.
Okay.
Yeah. Should be.
But clear. I'll be able to come for part of it. I just might not. It starts at what time? 4:30. My function starts at 5, but I'm going to try to sign in right for 4:30 and listen to a little bit. And then I'll be a couple minutes late for the other event that I have to go to. So I'll be there for part of it. But it seems pretty straightforward. I'm assuming Colerain thinks the same, but. Okay, green community update. Brian, do you have anything for us for that you want to share?
Yeah, we had a meeting last week, and we met Allison Gage, who's taking over from Alyssa. And I had sent her the, I had asked Roger Harris, who's the project engineer for Rise Engineering, to give us an actual cost estimate, even though it's not complete, just something in writing that I could share with, you know, anyone who was interested, and also with Allison and Jane Pfister and Mark Rubinsky from the Department of Energy Resources. And then we were looking at, you know, going back over what projects had been approved on our energy reduction plan, which was what we had to get through, get approved by DOER to be able to work on various projects. So I asked, Allison to look at what was on that list and, you know, what do we have to do next to move forward on some of the projects? And some of them would be, there's a lighting project at the school that we had originally tried to get figures from the tech school and Needham Electric. We have those figures, but I think, I'm not sure that the tech school can do this given COVID. They are cut back to about 50% capacity. And then there's an air sealing project. It was insulation and air sealing that we had in a assessment done by the electric company. Basically hires people to go through and do the assessments, and then they come up with recommendations and they do cost estimates. So she's looking into that with Mark Rubinsky. And he's our Western Mass rep from DO. And so we'll have another meeting scheduled for the 17th to see where we are. She's not fully up to speed on our down projects yet. But anyway, she's
where's the dog?
Jack.
Oh.
Me? Is that my dog?
Jack. Yeah, oh. I can hear your dog.
I'm sorry. I thought it was muted.
That's okay.
Mute your dog.
We're pet friendly. Sorry, Brian. Did you have more? Kind of a little dog interruption.
We're just moving ahead with the next phase.
Okay. Okay, questions, Sue, on green communities, anything?
Nope.
Okay. Last item on other business, schedule executive session. So we have a personnel matter we need to schedule an executive session for. So can we look at our calendars, please?
Is that going to be an in-person meeting or a Zoom?
It seems
it ought to be in person.
I do too.
I agree with that. And don't forget, we have rules for notification, timing, the letters needs to go out. So we need a little bit of time for the preparation. Hilma, when do you want us to look at doing that? What works for you as far as scheduling, getting everything sent out?
Well, if it's sometime the week of like February 13th.
Okay.
Like, I don't know if the 16th, that Wednesday.
I could do the 16th if it were later in the day. Sue?
I'm good with it.
I could do the 16th.
I could do like 3 o'clock or after. I could try to make that work.
Okay, I can do that.
So you can be there at 3 o'clock?
Yeah, well, if we could do 3:30, that would be easier for me. That gives me just a little bit of less, so I'm not flying like I sometimes feel like I'm trying to do to get back here. But yeah, if we could do 3:30, that would be great. 3:30 on, what was the day?
The 16th, it's Wednesday.
If that works, yeah.
Is that right? Yep.
Okay. Thank you. Okay, so that's the list of other business. And we'll make sure, I'll work on going back to executive session. I'll work on that with Hilma and make sure we'll get the information out to everyone. So that's it, that on the other business list. Anything, Sue, from you, other business?
No, you guys had already added in a couple things.
Yeah, so the salt shed, do you want to put that, Brian? I'm thinking that conversation about all of the buildings is coming up in the next couple of weeks. We'll put that on that agenda.
Okay.
Is that all right?
Yeah, I want to make sure we didn't lose track of that. So,
correct.
Because that's most urgent.
Is the salt shed? Is the salt shed something that the building maintenance committee, that's the right name, the building maintenance committee should be involved in?
Yeah.
Is there some way they can help?
Facilities committee.
The facilities committee. All right, that's the name I was looking for.
And that was the report that you guys worked on, identified that as the most critical project, I believe.
Yeah, but David, the group that David Travers is responsible for, that he's the chair for, that's the build, is that the building facilities committee?
That's the current standing.
Yes. Yeah, and I'm asking, should they be included in that? Is there a task for them here that would help us get things moving along faster?
I believe that they could be given some responsibility for following up on this particular project.
Yes, I was going to suggest that they can take, and I can put the package together, the package that Jeff has already been working on, of which I think they are involved with as well, or have some of that information. We could loop it. We could loop them in and see if they are willing to. maybe get some of the budget pieces pulled together. Some of the work is already done for them. They just need to pull it all together. So I'm happy to make a connection with them and give them what we have, what Jeff and I started working on, and see if they can just kind of pull it together, the final pull together.
Okay.
I'll do that. Good idea, Sue.
Thank you. It's my one good idea for the day. I'm done.
No, not one.
That's
not
it. I only do one a day.
No.
I just spread it out.
No. And the other item is one that we have to act on, but that's in the minutes. We'll get to it. That's the state police, the E911. So I think that's it for other business. So we have 9 minutes, right? Because I think it's 7:21. So we have 9 minutes.
Maybe Chief McDonough could explain this to us.
I doubt it. How does he want to? Chief, do you want to explain that to us? He's sitting there looking. What? Explain what?
Got to give him something too.
Or does Hilma want to explain it?
Somebody.
Sure, we'll explain it together. Since John doesn't even know what he's explaining.
He's kind of pro-tail.
What came in was a letter and the agreement from the Commonwealth of Massachusetts Department of State Police Division of Administrative Services Communications Section, basically saying that it is time for the town of Heath to decide if they want to continue being a member or being served by the enhanced 911 services that are offered by the Executive Office of Public Safety and Security. So that would, and I believe, although, okay, it's a 5-year memorandum of understanding, basically that, services would continue as we have had since, uh, 2006 is when it started, and there have been renewals every 5 years since then. So it's a no cost memorandum of understanding. Basically, the state pays for these services, and the municipality receives the benefit. So you folks need to decide if you want to vote to enter into the agreement, as has been done in the past, or to terminate services.
John, is there anything you wanted to add? Chief John?
That's exactly what I was going to say.
Okay. Good job.
Word for word.
It sort of sounds like a no-brainer. If somebody has an emergency on their landlines at home, I believe it covers cell as well, but you're getting a 911 call to dispatch. And if it's a no fee at this point, still.
Yep.
Why would you not want to continue the service?
Agree.
I was just wondering how that interfaced with Shelburne Control. I mean, I certainly agree that we need to redo this, but I just don't know how this stuff works together.
Shelburne Control dispatchers are the state police.
Okay.
They are hired. They are part of the state police dispatch.
Okay.
Do you have any questions, Sue? Other questions?
I guess my only question is there any reason why we have to have that reviewed by council, or is it an acceptable boilerplate kind of thing that we can just go ahead with. Good.
I think it's good.
Hilma's shaking her head. Good.
Just reading it for the 14th time.
It's the 15th.
And do you have any other questions or comments? Brian, anything up from you on this? Any questions?
Clear how this, you know, if this is something different from the Shelburne control. And
well, if there's no questions, comments, if everyone's comfortable, I need a motion to accept the agreement for public safety dispatch services between the state, the Massachusetts State Police, and the town of Heath.
And add to the motion that Robin, as chair, would be this be signing the agreement, because it's there's only one signature.
Oh yeah.
So move.
Second.
Any further discussion? All in favor?
Sue,
I. Brian, I.
Robin, I. All right. A couple more things then. Well, I might as well take a look at the mail since we have that pulled apart right now for a couple minutes here until 7:30, which is very close. So part two of the mail is set aside because that's strictly the Council on Aging request to use the room. We've already discussed that and it's moving into another meeting. Part one of the mail, let's see, the first couple are letters from residents in favor of cell tower. We have the letter from the Board of Health from Jean, the chair, on COVID, which I've already summarized. We have an update, let's see, Sue, the visit to the Coleraine Central School, and also animal control meeting. Anything you wanted to add or?
No, the animal control, they've had two new towns that have expressed an interest in joining, Leiden and Burniston. Leiden looks like a pretty sure thing. Burniston was looking for a short-term resolution because they've lost their officer. They may be interested in long-term. So anyway, it was agreed that they would both be allowed in if they were interested, and that will impact the final budget for them. They may be hiring on a new part-time officer, but even with that, our increase is pretty minimal under option one and then goes down from there. The recommendation from everybody there was for budget planning purposes to go with the highest number until they find out for sure that Burniston and Leiden are joining.
Okay. Thanks, Sue. The next email is from Pam in regards to from the building use questions and concerns about the ventilation at Community Hall. I think that this is going to be part of, I think it's twofold conversation, green communities, but also the building use discussion that we're going to be picking up. Then you have the MassDOT bridge inspection reports for your review. And the last pieces are the town nurse report for January, and we have the statements from Chris for review. So that's bringing us right up to 7:30. If there's anything to go back to discuss in the mail, we'll do that after our appointments. So with that being said, I'm going to reorganize myself. Hopefully. And welcome to the library trustees and staff. I have a lot of people here now. So I'm going to apologize because there's so many. I have multiple screens I have to keep looking back and forth at. But this, Helma, did you raise your hand?
I did. The library trustees need to call their meeting to order.
Thank you.
Okay, I will call this meeting to order at 7:30. And Maureen, can you pull your screen forward a bit so we can see your face a little more?
Sure.
Yeah, there we go.
I've been warned that I'm on an unstable. I don't know.
Okay.
We'll see. My fingers crossed.
So I have a question before we begin too, because this is an official meeting for us as well. Do we have to keep our own separate minutes, or we do? Okay. Yeah. And Kate, are you able to do that for us as well?
I already started them.
Oh, you started them. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. I'm on it. Okay.
Okay, great. All right. That's it.
So welcome, everyone, and thanks for coming. I guess there's quite a few. Deb, are you doing the speaking, or how is this rolling out?
Okay, so I will do the speaking, and I'm going to read something because I'm not very good at speaking out.
That's fine.
Anyway, you know, a lot of people have been asking us where we are in the process of looking into moving the library, and we thought it was time to check in. We've said from the get-go that moving is a big decision and one that deserves a lot of careful thought and planning. And we wanted to let you know where we were at this point, as well as to ask for your patience in the whole process. Just a reminder, when we started discussing the library, it came from our talk about what we envision for the library in the future. And the library itself could do for the community of where everybody could meet, learn, share ideas, discuss, have access to needed resources. And through that discussion, we really came to came up against the need for more space. And also we have all along been very committed to improving the library by making it ADA accessible and by creating a better space for families and children and by trying to accommodate better the needs of an aging population. So as you know, as a board, we feel the former school site offers a wonderful opportunity for finally solving the space issues in the current library and for planning for the future. But we've also come to recognize that moving the library is not something that we can do alone. And we need the help and support of townspeople in this endeavor. And in the process of the work, we admittedly have not yet adequately reached out to folks to see what they think, what they want. So far, we have heard from some people, some who are very enthusiastic, some who are hesitant but willing to keep an open mind, and some who are just plain opposed. We really haven't adequately expressed to the broader community what our vision is or invited them into the conversation about what they want in the library. In a recent meeting with the Friends of the Heath Library, it was emphatically pointed out that this was an important missing piece in our proposal, and we agreed. So truthfully, we've struggled with how to begin the conversation in the time of COVID, preferring to have such conversations face-to-face. But since COVID is not ending anytime soon, we know we need to involve the broader community. And you heard a little about that tonight. We need to know, and we want to know, how to best serve the community moving forward. Right now, we have scheduled an informational meeting for February 10th. This will be just the beginning of doing that. The Friends have suggested letters, which we will be considering, and a survey, which also might be a good way for us to reach out. But we will start on February 10th to begin this outreach. And the second thing that we haven't yet done is to really have a full assessment of the costs involved in either moving from or staying in Sawyer Hall. We have made some assumptions on the best use of the $50,000 that we already have to spend, but we don't know for sure if these assumptions are accurate, and we need to find out. So the last thing, and what really concerns tonight more, is we would love to have a better understanding of how the town in the long run will make the best use of all the buildings, of what you as the board envision, how you as the board envision using the former school and the center buildings. Specifically, if we were to move the library, how the library would fit in with the overall use of 18 Jacobs Road. Would we have a place for storage? Would we have use of the open space? What would be the status of the Tim's old office, whether that would be something that would be available? And if we were to stay in Sawyer Hall, what would be the plans for upgrading the building to meet the fire code and ADA requirements that we would need in the long run? So again, we're not in any hurry to make this move. We want to get it right. We want to include others. But also in the meantime, we plan to continue to use the school library space as an annex for our programs in the way that we've been using it already, for perhaps the children's library. And one thing that came out of our meeting with the Friends was an idea of using the library as the school library as a drop-off place for anyone who would find it easier to come to the former school building while we're trying to find the answers to these other things. So that is basically where we are, and we would love to have your questions or comments or thoughts on moving forward with this.
Great, thanks, Deb.
I don't know whether anybody else, Emily or Maureen or Kate, have anything to add.
I think it gave us all a lot to think about right there. You've asked a lot of questions, and if we kind of see what people have to say, that would be best, that we just have gone over this a few times. So it'd be nice to hear other voices.
Is there anybody else from the library group that would like to speak that's here from the trustees or staff?
I think Deb did a great job of summarizing all of our spinning parts.
It's a big task. Big undertaking.
It is. Probably bigger than any of us really anticipated.
I understand that.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'll open it up to the select board members, since that's what we're here for. I think, I don't mind starting, hanging myself out there. I think that those of you who have been here through the meeting, you've heard me say a number of times that the next step that is really important for me in the big picture is really for the select board to have an opportunity in an open meeting to have a meeting about all of the buildings, which is what you just asked, Deb, what is the plan for all of the buildings? And that is happening in February, one way or another. I've been wanting to do it, and it's happening this month for a handful of reasons. One, because there are so many people who have questions, there are so many concerns, and two, we're in budget season, and any use of any building obviously has budget consequences that we have to discuss. And like you mentioned, whether it's relocate into Jacobs Road if that's the final decision, stay in both locations, stay just at Sawyer, whatever one of those decisions happens, they all have a financial implication that has to be discussed. And all of them would have, I believe, excuse me, something that needs to be put in front of the voters as far as finances are concerned at this upcoming ATM. So we have to move relatively quickly on at least getting some ideas and numbers put together in this budget season. That's my hope. If regardless of the fact, from my point of view, Sawyer Hall, I've spoken at other meetings about some of my feelings about taking the opportunity to look at Sawyer Hall and get some work done, whether it's simple cosmetics, just to be able to get paint and replacement of carpet that hasn't been done, and then all the way up to some of the more costly renovations that we have to look at, like you talked about, the ADA, the accessibility, we have fire code issues. We have a number of items that we have to, as a select board and as a larger group, meaning the town, have to deal with, and they have obviously financial implications. So that's part of that building use conversation that I think has to happen very quickly. So those are just some of my thoughts, and I totally understand the difficulties that come out of having this conversation about any of the functions that happen in any of the buildings. It's very emotional, it's very difficult. And I appreciate the work that you guys are doing to get to where you are at this point and the work that you have yet to do in front of you. I'm happy to hear about the meetings that are gonna be held and mailings going out. I think those are good ideas as well. I'll stop going on and on. Sue, do you have comments or questions?
No, I would mirror a lot of what you said. I wish there was a way to get input from people that really could remove the idea of where it is and be focused more on what it should be before the where is decided. What do we really want the library to be 5 years from now, 10 years from now, 20 years from now? It seems like we need to be thinking about the future, and libraries are changing because the world is changing, and the book library is not the same thing that it used to be. Yes. So I really feel like it would be so helpful if people could separate, could first think about what they really want from their library, and and let that kind of help drive the decision on what spaces can serve that need the best in the future.
Yep.
Those are good points. Good points. Yeah.
Point. Thank you.
It's interesting, Sue. I just to follow up on that, I think often about the big city of Greenfield and their new library project. And it's interesting, one of the differences is that the new library is being built pretty much where the old library was. There isn't a huge location change, right? It's still within the same spot. But I think that they're, after watching that unfold for the years that I have, a lot of the conversations that take place did happen there. And there was, of course, the big push for the new library to handle a lot of these issues about accessibility, the age of the building, and what the library would be used for in the future, like you said, Sue. Not necessarily today, but 5 years from now and 10 years from now and 20 years from now, because obviously when we're making the investment, yeah, we hope that we personally get some type of something back to us personally but we're thinking more about what happens down the road. And I think a lot of that did happen in Greenfield. It's an interesting, story that happened in Greenfield, and I think in other towns as well. I think this conversation has happened. But I like what you said, Sue, about what is the library? What is it to us? What does it mean? First and foremost, versus just where is its actual location? Brian, what are your thoughts?
I was wondering what the progress was with the interior designer that the library's been working with, if there was any progress on that or?
No, well, she gave us an assignment. We've completed the assignment, but then we got involved in these other meetings. So we haven't, We haven't gotten back to her. She wanted us to measure the books and then figure out what we need for the future in terms of shelf space to begin to think about. And actually that's useful in either place, because either place needs new shelving. The library, keeping the library where it is, isn't going to mean keeping the library as it is. Just so people are clear about that. Because the current library itself is not ADA accessible, and it has to be changed in the interior part of it. If we were to stay there, and if we go to the school, we would be designing that new space with the same specifications. So she has agreed that she would work with us, but we need to get back to her and speak with her more about that. And that has to do with also figuring out what the cost would be. I know that when I measured, we had about half the shelving space in the former Heath School that would be needed. So we know there's more shelving that's needed.
It seems that having that data gathered before you have, before you get too far into public meetings would be important to say, this is what we have to accommodate.
Yeah.
I mean, some of it is this is what we want, and some of it is this is what we have to.
Yeah, we can do that. I guess part of it is, wherever we are, we know the measurements of what, you know, the spacing of the shelves, that has to happen. And we have looked at the regulations, the ADA regulations, pretty carefully to know what the measurements are for each thing. And actually, when we look back in our notes from years ago, when we were looking to build the library, they were suggesting that we needed more space than that even that library would accommodate, which is why we were looking to see whether we can use the open space, whether we'd have access to that, whether we'd have access to other storage, because the confines of that room plus the office is still small for us in thinking of the future. So, you know, and I think we can compromise between what the state wanted us to do, which was fairly grandiose and not doable, and what we as a town can make use of.
So go ahead.
Yeah, Deb, I see that Nick is still here. Have you talked with him at all from the fire department's perspective on things that you might need to consider for in either space?
I only checked through Tim. I checked with Nick through Tim on the fire egress in 18 Jacobs Road. The fact, I'm not sure why it was acceptable for the school not to have a separate egress out of the library there. So I don't quite understand all of that, but the fire egress at 18 Jacobs Road, the way to do it would be to take the window, that one of the windows that faces onto the parking lot, and make it into a door. And I have been assured that it would not be a difficult thing. We have not priced it out yet though. But it would require too a paved path to the parking lot to be acceptable. I'm not sure though why it was okay before. And I don't know about, we haven't talked about Sawyer Hall fire, the fire egress there, but I understand because it does not, it has to be upgraded as well. It would have to be upgraded as well because it doesn't empty onto a ramp. There's not a a way for a wheelchair to exit out of there if the front door was blocked, and it goes on into a grassy area, into the neighbor's yard. So that is something that we know would have to be taken care of.
Nick, do you have anything to add to that?
You're muted.
You're muted.
Those fancy headsets.
There we go. That's so much for the fancy headset. Works okay for hearing, not the speaker. Anyway, yeah, both buildings, we're just looking at the access. We're always going to look at that. The current existing library is difficult. Again, it doesn't go anywhere, especially in the winter conditions. It's going to be very difficult to get out of there the way it is. So it would just have to be upgraded. The door would have to be wider, a ramp. And then you'd have to bring it out to the street. You know, if you can put any money into it and bring it up to some sort of compliance. The Jacobs Road buildings, I talked to the fire marshal on it, and they would rather see a secondary access out there. There's a second door, but it goes into another room. That's technically not considered a secondary access. So they can like to see something come out that back of the back part of the building, which is at least it's all on grade. It's not difficult to do. You know, either one isn't very difficult. It's just going to take some work on to bring it up to code.
Okay.
Thank you.
And Nick, have you looked at the fire? I mean, I know that we haven't talked about it, but if we stayed put and we used the upstairs room at all, is there any kind of fire egress out of upstairs?
Upstairs fire, that fire escape's got to be upgraded. That's really not compliant. It empties out into a flower bed. That really needs to be, you know, exited out to the street. And I had the fire marshal through the buildings, and that was his recommendation. The bottom of that ramp there, it's got to, you gotta be able to walk straight out into the street or access it to the where the ramp comes up onto the building, at least come out to grade on the ramp.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Another thing that has I was wondering about, and this has nothing to do with fire, so. But I just lost my thought. I'm sorry. This is the problem with working with old people, you guys.
I say most of us understand them.
Yeah. You're in good company. Don't worry about it.
Gotta write it down.
I know. I know one idea that has been circulating, and it's a little bit about why we've reversed and had talked about a drop-off at 18 Jacobs Road for books. But one thought about that we've been going around about, and this is really understanding the need for something in the center and at the school, and whether or not if the library moved, in your planning, is it possible that there could be something at the old library, either simply a book drop-off or an area that would be a sitting room or a reading room, like in the front of the old library, or what would be the plans? I guess I just want to put a bug in your ear about that as you think about the spaces in the buildings and whether it's doable or not. And that's a rough draft sketch because we'd have to really figure out whether we could even afford to do it on the personnel that we have. But there has been some concern that driving to 18 Jacobs Road is a longer drive. And by being able to drop books off or by having maybe just an area where there might be Heath history books or some way of having a presence in both buildings. And that's come up. People have asked about that several times. So it is something else that was been on our mind, but we haven't had time to really flesh it out because we didn't know whether we'd have that space. So.
Okay. Brian, other questions, thoughts?
I guess there are a lot of technical things that need to be addressed, but once decisions are made and a direction is chosen, then those technical issues can be resolved. I think it's important to get that data together about what's needed in terms of stack space and, you know, what other types of materials or presentation areas, you know, just have that whole list of things ready to use to analyze and propose a solution.
Okay. I'm not totally, well, I think that we will consult with the interior decorator and we can kind of map out how to.
Don't say interior decorator.
No, I'm sorry, what do we say?
It's designer, isn't it? Designer.
Okay. Designer. Right. Excuse me. To the designer to figure that out. But I think first on our docket is to really start to talk to people. That's kind of the pressing issue for us right now. And I think that's what we need the most with, because we need, if we're going to make the move, we need help. And if we're not going to make the move, we need help. Either way, we need help. And it's probably going to come from, you know, the people who love libraries and who want to see the changes that have to happen. So I think that's all we have.
Okay.
Maybe the last thing is when we asked, you know, like in thinking about the overall use, will you let us, these meetings, I guess I don't know how you're going to map out, like what kind of space we would have in 18 Jacobs Road, for instance, for storage and for use of the open space and how that fits together with the other things that might be going on there. I think those are important questions for us because it definitely by being there expands the need for specific library space if we have the open space, when there's sitting space out in the open area. Or when there's, we have very little storage space in the current library, and it's a problem. And we need adequate storage, and so we need to be assured that we have some, or we need some assurance about those things in our planning. I know when I wrote a letter, we had asked for the gym's storage room, and I hear that that's taken. So I'm just kind of curious what other opportunities there might be on that.
Okay. So I'm still of the mind that this building use conversation can help provide some of this information.
Okay.
Sue, thoughts?
Nothing that hasn't been said already.
Okay. So, Brian, anything else?
I just go back to the data and saying, in order for us to be able to say, to figure this out, we need to know what's needed, you know, like how much storage do you need, and
you know, lots
of any space that,
yeah,
we have to coordinate with other people that are using the building or any of the buildings. Mm-hmm. So we got to have something to work with.
Okay. I think the other question, I'm assuming that anybody, if they schedule it, would have access to the kitchen or the gym or the, that any yes. town function could happen in those areas. And I'm assuming that the playground is open to anybody at all times.
Yeah.
So it's really the storage and knowing that we, you know, that the open space is spill out space. Are kind of the two questions we have. Oh, and also that the room, whether the room that was Tim's former office is going to become a shared meeting room or whether it's going to stay an office space also makes a difference to us.
Okay.
So that's where we are.
Okay, fair enough. So is there anybody else from the trustees or library staff that would like to add anything or has any questions?
I don't really have anything to add, but I'm just thinking that with all this information, if we take some time. I don't know if we want to make a schedule of like 1 month, come back with some information or, I think Deb can probably figure out how long it might take to come up with the information that you've asked for.
Mm-hmm.
And that could be our next step and then go from there. It just seems to be a logical way to do it. Start with these questions and see what our space needs are more precisely than we've managed to give you before. So
I don't fair
does
enough.
That make sense? Yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
Well, maybe when are you gonna schedule the February meeting for, do you know?
Well, no, we're going to talk about that before the end of the meeting tonight. I had an idea of what was happening on certain nights, but my mind is changing a little bit as we continue this conversation. So it may be sooner, but I think our building use conversation is multi-stepped. I don't know that it's all in one meeting. So
yeah, it should be.
Yeah. We're not expecting that at that first meeting that we have all that information. I don't think that's going to happen.
Okay.
I think we need to start talking sooner on other items as well.
Okay.
But the sooner the better. As I said before, I don't want to keep pushing out decisions, at least about how we see the buildings, like the status of the buildings as it moves into the next couple of years, as far as some of the, and I'm not even gonna say renovations, I'm just gonna say repairs that have to happen. I mean, I don't think we can keep waiting year after year after year before we start making repairs and some general maybe renovations that have to happen to some of these buildings based on whatever use it is. I mean, realistically, Sawyer Hall, no matter what goes in it, if it's going to serve the public, it needs to be accessible and it needs to have fire. It has to have safe egress. So no matter what, those are items that we as a select board have to start, you know, putting in place what those costs are and asking the town if they want to foot those bills, because to use the buildings, we've got to do that. Community hall, we've got to look at some of the same issues. We've got some accessibility issues. We've got access and egress issues. And now we know that we have the cost to condition it and the way we wanted to is going to be greater than what we were hoping under the Green Communities grant. So there's these items, just these general pieces of the puzzle that we really have to get on. So we know sooner than later when, you know, what those costs are going to be so we can get it out and get it into the meetings. So
mm-hmm.
we have to have those conversations as well, regardless of who's in those buildings.
Are you all comfortable with us moving slowly, since it sounds like you have a lot to do too, that we're not in a hurry to make this happen?
I think it's going to take what it's going to take.
Yeah.
The time that it's going to take.
and I don't know what slowly is. Slowly in a matter of what? I'm not sure.
Well, we don't either, but slowly enough to get the job done right.
Yeah. That kind of, it takes what it takes. I like better. It takes what it takes.
Takes what it takes. And from our point of view, it's not happening fast. So, you know, it's not something that we can settle next week.
Right.
Until we do our homework. And the homework has just taken longer than we thought.
Right. So, I mean, certainly there's decisions that the select board has to keep moving forward on that affect employees' day-to-day working that have already been moved and whatnot. I mean, we have to keep moving forward on some of whatever those plans are going to be.
Yeah.
So we have to keep the conversation going. I think what's important is as the select board keeps the conversation going, we stay in communication as groups together so that we make sure that everybody is knowledgeable of what steps are being taken. And those communications can keep happening during that time.
Yeah.
That's right. It. That's definitely right. What needs to happen. Thank right. you.
So I have another question for you. We've talked several times with the fact that it's hard. It's been challenging to do the work that has to be done for the library and have time to think this through and get the work done for making this decision. And we've talked about having a subcommittee maybe help us out with some of this. Is that something that we're allowed to appoint, or is that something the select board appoints? I know we worked with a subcommittee when we were looking into building a library years ago. And we had a wonderful working group of about six people. And it was a huge help. But I can't remember who appointed them or if they were appointed. To tell you the truth.
Brian?
Yeah, I was around then, but I don't remember. I would assume that the board would have to do the actual appointments, you know, the library trustees could, you know, try to find interested people, and the select board would appoint on a committee.
Okay, and I think Hilma might remember. Are you shaking your head? Yes. Okay.
Yes.
So that's yes. helpful. So if we go that route and we would just bring back to you the names and ask if you're willing to appoint them.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
And you should have some kind of a written charge of what it right. is you want to do that we would also be approving at this. At the same time.
Okay. All right.
I think that's important because if not, you're putting together a group of people and they don't really have a direction and you're going to be spinning.
Yeah.
You
want to yeah.
spin.
No spinning.
Well, and people's time is really valuable, you know, to get people together to do these things. It's tough.
It is.
It's a good idea, though, Deb. It's a good idea.
Yeah. All right. I think that's it.
All right. Sue, I'll just ask one last chance. Sue, you got anything else for tonight? Brian? No,
I'd like to say thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you all.
I think thanks. I have to officially close out our meeting, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. So I would entertain a motion to close out the trustees meeting.
I move to close the trustees meeting.
You got
Maureen, you're going to second.
Okay, I'll second it.
There you go.
That's all of us. We'll talk to you later. Thank you so much.
That was good. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you, everyone.
Have a good night.
Thank you. Greatly appreciated. More to come.
Yeah, that's for sure.
More to come. Select board members, back onto the mail. Anything on the mail that you wanted to bring back up for discussion or get more information on, Sue, on anything?
Nope.
Brian?
No.
All right. Okay. Review of minutes.
You want me to give
my town coordinator?
Yes, you want to do that first while I pull up the minutes? That's fine.
Okay, so spent a lot of time getting caught up on typing minutes, both for open sessions and for executive session meetings. I also spent a lot of time in communication with town council in regard to various different situations that the town is having to address right now and needs legal advice and steering. What I call the Route 8A Branch Brook Bridge, the one that is, by Mary Howe's house, right before Sumner Stetson Road, wherever you want to locate it. Thanks a lot in part to Jeff and his coordinating both with the official at MassDOT, as well as Nick as fire chief and the Mohawk School Transportation Office, and working with them, what's been decided is that the emergency repair of that bridge will be done during the week of February 20th, in part because that week is actually right around the corner, and it's also school vacation week, so therefore the bus routes won't be impacted. It's anticipated that bridge will be completely closed for 3 to 4 days. Now, since the Monday, like February 20th is a Sunday, the 21st is Monday, it's President's Day holiday. My guess is that the bridge will be closed Tuesday through Friday. When I know for certain that those will be the dates, I will start putting out public notices. I'll put up posters. I'll send out townwide emails. I'll probably do a code red phone message. The detour, unfortunately, there's no easy detour. The detour will mean going up number 9 road into Vermont, taking what is called Burrington Hill Road, which goes across to Route 8A, still in Jacksonville, Vermont, and then coming down 8A. I drove it on dry roads. I was not looking at scenery. Let me put it that way, since the police chief is still here. And I knew where I was going because I knew the roads. It took 15 minutes. It's a 10-mile detour. So, people are going to have to plan ahead for those days, but there's absolutely no way around it. I did not take the southerly loop, if you will, going down into Coleraine, so I don't know how long that is. But anyway, it's something that kind of has to be done.
Helma, just one thing on that. So you'll notify like other boards and departments in town also, correct?
Yes, I will.
With enough knowledge. Okay.
Yep, I will.
I'm just going to interrupt. I'll let Susan has a question about it. I'll let her ask. Go ahead, Susan.
Thank you. Would you have to notify the post office for people to get their mail? As a letter carrier's daughter.
And ambulance services as well.
Yeah, well, that's Nick.
Yeah, that's okay. Being done. Yeah.
And how about just a courtesy to UPS and FedEx? There should be a courtesy to them.
Okay, I have no idea who to, we'll talk about that, Barbara, but I mean, yes, but I have no idea how to contact them.
And a note, did you say a note will go on the website?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
And there'll be plenty of signage up, right? Signed, some of their—
Yes. Signage. Jeff is also working with the state in terms of all the signage that is going to be required, you know, that like bridge closed and detour signs and all that stuff. Yeah, Jeff is on top of that part.
Robin, this is Pam.
Go ahead, Pam.
And I'm aware that Jonathan often plans a program during that week. So has he been informed about this? Because parents will need to know.
Yeah, we'll make sure he knows. Thank you. Yeah.
He's doing something over the weekend. He's doing something that weekend, not during the week.
Oh, good. Okay.
Great. Thanks, Helma.
I also worked on what you folks have already covered in terms of the Coleraine Heath capital costs for the elementary school. Today I attended a webinar that had to do with the ARPA final rule, is what they're calling it, which is basically just what it says, that the U.S. Treasury has finally come up. They had interim rules of how to that money could be spent and appropriated. They have now come up with their final ruling. There are some slight differences. So anyway, there were some officials like from DOR at the state level and that deal particularly with the COVID relief money. So it's the first part is going to involve a bit of studying, because just the over what they're calling the overview of the guidelines is 40 pages in length.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
They don't have a Reader's Digest condensed version, huh?
Yes.
What are those things called? Those cheat notes, or spark notes, or whatever those.
Cliff notes. That's cliff notes.
Yeah. I also noted here that the town has received the first half of the funding as scheduled. We were supposed to have the second half of the funding for all municipalities is scheduled to be released this summer at some point. And then let's see, a couple of other things that I do not have on my written report. First of all, I don't know how many of you saw headlines in the Greenfield Recorder today that Senator Hines had successfully written a bill to appropriate, I think it was like $7 million of the state ARPA money that would serve to reimburse cities and towns for the damage that was incurred on like roads during the July storm. If you remember, I believe Heath incurred, it was either $33,000 or $38,000 worth of damage. Jeff submitted all the reports and the paperwork to MEMA. What came out of it was basically we couldn't be reimbursed at that point. Nobody could be reimbursed because there was the total amount for Massachusetts did not reach the threshold for FEMA funding. So out of that, there were some small towns who incurred like millions of dollars worth of damage to their roads. They petitioned Senator Hines to sponsor this bill on behalf of all the towns. He did that. I sent an email to his office after I saw the headlines in the Recorder. asking, like, well, basically, is Heath included? Because we had submitted for reimbursement and, you know, kind of a nice version of what's going on. And I received a response late this afternoon that they're still, as he put it, they're still sorting it all out in terms of what each town will receive and all that stuff. But it looks very, very promising, which would be, you know, wonderful for us. And then the last thing that I just wanted to say, to get on record, because I know Jeff has received one complaint about this. Jeff has had problems getting the salt mix that is used on the paved roads. The problem is not with the Heath Highway Department. The company has a stockpile of salt. They cannot hire enough drivers to deliver the salt, which means that every town has a wait period, basically. And, you know, it's not timed with the storms. We don't know when the storms are coming. So, like, for example, the few inches that we just received, Jeff had to spread some of the sand that's normally used on dirt roads, on the paved roads, because that's all he had in stock. And I just wanted to go on record as saying that, because I know he has received at least one criticism about that. He has no option. When he uses it on paved roads, it's because that's all he's got. And that's the end of my report.
Great, thank you, Helma. Sue, any questions for Helma?
No.
Brian?
How much was the ARPA, our share of the ARPA?
The ARPA that we get directly?
The one half that we received was how much?
Well, the one half is like 106,000 and okay. Something. I think altogether we will receive about 213,000.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. All right. Great, thanks, Emma. Mm-hmm. All right, anything else before minutes?
You want to set some dates while people are still here so they can hear what they're going to be? Some people may not want to sit and listen to us make spelling corrections in minutes.
Well. Okay, so the dates we have. We have tomorrow is set. Next Tuesday is the
finance.
Just looking at this list.
Let's see, Tuesday.
So next Tuesday is the 8th, and that's right now with finance. And it looks like we have a budget hearing with the Highway Department, Fire, and maybe PD. And we'll be talking about the legal costs.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yep.
The 15th, we have, we're going to have the planning board in with us at some point. And that's just a regular open session
and
meeting.
And that's a regular meeting, right?
Yeah, that's a regular meeting. And then the 22nd, the next Tuesday, we have another budget hearing with the Finance Committee. Then the following week, so we're basically back to every week. The following week is March 1st, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
So March 1st will be a regular meeting, regular open meeting. We will definitely have to have communication in that meeting about building use. But I'm a little uncomfortable waiting that long for our first discussion on that, just because of the way time rolls out and how much time we need to do certain things. So my recommendation is, based on, we're going to wait and see what comes for the meeting on the 15th. We may include that as well, depending on what else we have for our agenda. That's my recommendation. And then, of course, we have the items that we need to come back on for other business, right? We've got to come back to the senior program director job description classification. We've got to come back to the Parks and Rec committee charge. And the Council on Aging request and the Municipal Light Board request for Rome's, that's part of the use, the building use.
Yeah.
Right. And then we have our standard COVID, that'll be there, green communities.
So then you're thinking on the 15th, we're going to start the building use conversation?
Maybe at least be able to open it up for the three of us to converse about setting up a plan that we can, you know, put in like an agenda for that conversation. Like, how do we roll that conversation out? What information do we need? And then put it back on the schedule for 2 weeks later, which is the first.
Did we talk about the 22nd?
The 22nd is a budget hearing with is a meeting for budgeting with Finance Committee. And I think it's still a question mark as to who we're actually meeting with for budget, but it is a budget meeting. I remember, Sue, your suggestion of meeting with the Historical Society. Society. Thank you. I always get them mixed up while I'm talking
about. Well, I think both.
Okay. So maybe that gets buddied up. I don't know where that fits in, but it buddies up with one of these meetings, I'm sure. And maybe because the meetings, we have so much to tackle. Maybe that becomes on an off week too. I don't know. I mean, we said we do off weeks with the Finance Committee, but that doesn't mean we can't have our own meeting. I mean, we can have a meeting and put more into it if we want to. I think one thing I've noticed is, and this has been the case for all the years I've been doing this, I think everyone is much better with, when it comes to these deep conversations, when we're not talking at 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock at night. I think that becomes challenging after you've started at 6.
Yeah.
So instead of really jam packing, I think that we should, if we need to spread it out a little bit more, but we've got to get a lot of these conversations in over the next month, 4 to 6 weeks. So I think that we have to talk as a group before we talk with the Historical Society. So I'll think about when I think it makes, I don't know when it makes sense, whether we wait till the 1st or we sneak them in on the 22nd. I don't care. reach out and see with when and if they're available between those meetings. I don't know.
I think that was one of the issues that one of the things that I thought maybe a special town meeting that we would put on a special town meeting was the property next to the, we haven't gotten any place. We haven't figured out how we would do it, but the Historical Society was looking to possibly use that piece of property that was in the Five Ledge Road, where we had the house torn down.
Yeah.
Well, but I don't think we're not any place. If we need a special town meeting soon, I'm not sure we have time to really consider that. But.
Okay. Yeah, that's right. I remember that. So let's see what comes in the next week for the 15th, the 22nd, and the 1st. But at least at the bare minimum on the 15th, we know we have the planning board, and we know we'll start some limited conversation on building use. And the 22nd, we've got the finance committee on budget, and the 1st is a regular open meeting with building use again.
You mentioned that you were going to send something to the facilities committee about the subject. So that will just go right ahead. You're going to go ahead with that and get them started, so we don't have to wait for this conversation. Okay.
Correct. I'll work on that with Helma. And also just really kind of start into, I figured I would update them also about having these conversations coming, like what days we're having these conversations, or at least starting them. Yeah. Yep. At some point, we'll have to have a conversation about the ARPA funds. So Hilma, you'll tell us when is appropriate to put that in. I had a question. We had a piece of mail from Ned. I think wasn't Ned on it, the municipal light board, from Brianna. Huh?
It was on a loan.
Yeah.
A loan repayment.
Yeah. Is that that's going to be part of a finance committee meeting?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Okay. Okay. So that's the beginning of the meetings. And I think we're just going to have to plug some other pieces into it. I think we'll be busy February, March. Very busy.
I think that's just the beginning of the meetings that we just put down.
Yeah.
And I don't see how we can get all this stuff. I don't know how much we can get done before annual town meeting without having extra meetings thrown in there.
That's why I said we may we kind of were hoping to just have finance, budget meetings on the off weeks. But it may just be a regular select board meeting with, say, two topics on it. It may be finance committee for whatever an hour, and then whatever, if we're going to be talking about building use or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't see how we can get that much done.
Correct.
Without doing something like that.
Well, and not having marathon meetings. Correct.
Yeah.
I mean, the good thing about it is the pieces like, the mail, those go quicker because there isn't as much because it's only a week. Mm-hmm. But it also creates challenges to getting the tasks done that you give to somebody because it's only a week. Sometimes it's hard to accomplish what you need to in a week's time. It needs 2 weeks to roll out or something.
Yep. But. Just too much.
Okay. So that's what I have on meetings. Future meetings, upcoming meetings for now, through March. And we know March is every Tuesday. We'll have to work on what those are going to be. Okay. Is there anything else other than minutes for tonight?
I can't think of anything.
All right, let's get these minutes done. Let's knock them out. I don't want to table them. Let's knock them. Let's go, go, go. All right, 12-1. So we have the select board, Town of Heath Select Board virtual meeting, December 1st, 2021. Sue?
In the fourth paragraph, the CPHS staff, the last line says it was a Delta variant. I can't remember anymore if it's the Delta or the Omicron. So I just wanted to make sure we had the right variant in there.
No, back on December 1st, it was Delta.
It was Delta. It was still Delta. Okay. And then on the very last paragraph and the last word, I'm wondering if it should be choices instead of changes.
Well, no, well, it was changes, and maybe I need to add a phrase on the end, but it had to do with changes in policy, like town policy about things. You know, like when when the library goes to window service. When
right. So I think if you add it in policy, that would make it clearer too, either way.
Consistent policy changes, sure.
Okay. Brian, anything on December 1st?
No, I don't have anything else.
All right. So can I have a motion to accept the Town of Heath Select Board virtual meeting minutes from December 1st, 2021 as amended?
So move.
Okay.
Any further discussion? All in favor?
Sue, aye.
Brian, aye.
Robin, aye. Town of Heath meeting minutes, Select Board virtual meeting, December 7th, 2021. Sue.
I didn't have anything.
I thought they were great. Brian? Brian?
I couldn't find one single thing, and look at how long they are.
I know.
Yeah, I didn't see anything.
All right. Then I will take a motion to accept the Town of Heath Select Board virtual meeting minutes for December 7th, 2021 as written.
So move.
Second.
Any further discussion?
Sue, I. Oh, oh.
All in favor.
Sue, I.
Brian, I.
Robin, I. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. December 14th. So this is the Town of Heath Select Board virtual meeting minutes, December 14th, 2021. Sue?
Nope. Yeah, nothing. That was just approving the single tax rate.
Brian?
Nothing.
All right, so I'll seek a motion to accept the Town of Heath Select Board virtual meeting minutes December 14th, 2021 as written.
So move.
Second.
All in favor.
I'm not sure we're going to finish these.
Yes, we are. All in favor.
Sue, aye.
Brian, aye.
Rob and I. Don't stay with me, you guys. We're there. We're close. There are still people here with us too. Not everybody's dropped off. December 15th. So we're looking at the Town of Heath Select Board virtual meeting minutes, December 15th, 2021. Sue?
Nothing.
Brian?
Nothing.
Nothing. So I will seek a motion to accept Town of Heath Select Board virtual meeting minutes dated December 15th, 2021 as written.
So move.
Second.
All in favor?
Sue, aye.
Brian, aye.
Robin, aye. December 21st. So these are the Town of Heath Select Board virtual meeting minutes for December 21st, 2021. Sue?
I got some. Sorry. Under COVID concerns, the second line toward the end where you have the word of.
Yeah.
I wasn't sure that it should be of. Maybe with.
With.
And those with vulnerable physical health conditions.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. And then in the next line, next paragraph, fiscal year 23 budget planning, mm-hmm. second line, last word. I'm thinking it's not supposed to be as, maybe was.
Was.
On the second page under Halmont Regionalization Study Team, third line, you say the two select boards. I think that it should be specific for the Colerain and Heath select boards.
Select boards.
You've got okay. the two select boards. I think you should name them Colerain select board and Heath select board.
Okay.
And then down at the bottom of that page, the Green Communities update.
Mm-hmm.
The next to the last line where it says there was also discussion. I didn't think it was very clear on who was recommending that or who was saying that, according to who.
Was oh, called. Probably because I didn't know who said it. Although I
you
think
remember Brian?
Brian. Because he was giving the update.
Okay, what are you drawing attention to?
Under Green Communities update on the bottom of page 2.
Yeah.
The next to the last line where it says there was also discussion. I was asking who made that comment? Was it did it come from Allison or did it come from Mark or
no, this is what I was, I think I mentioned that we did not do the storm window project because we were trying to figure, we were considering whether or not the windows should be replaced so that they were operable rather than just putting storm windows on, which are very difficult to operate. Because they're really large ones. So we didn't just want to go ahead and do storm windows without having made a decision about which way we would go.
So is that sentence accurate as the way it's written or should it be clarified?
No, it should, well, in my mind, it should be that should be replaced with weather, like W-H-E-T-H-E-R.
Okay.
Right.
That would make more sense, yeah.
Because no decision had been made on that.
All right. And then on page 3, this is kind of a silly little thing, but under the Hilltown Youth Performing Arts,
mm-hmm.
the third line, and it's just one of those things when I was reading it, I read it completely wrong, but mm-hmm. you said that the coordinator, the maintenance coordinator about painting the line in the equipment closet, bathroom, and furniture.
Oh, you. Heavens.
And it just sounds like you're painting lines in the bathroom and in the furniture. So if you just reverse the order of those.
Gotcha.
And that was all I had on that one.
All right.
Brian, do you have others on that?
No, I'm good.
And I was not there, so I do not have any. So I seek a motion to accept the Town of Heath Select Board virtual meeting minutes for December 21st, 2021 as amended.
So move.
Second.
I'll abstain.
All in favor.
All in favor.
That's Sue,
right.
I.
Sorry.
See, it's not just me.
I'm staying. No, now I'm losing it. Well, that one took too long.
Sorry. The next one should be easier.
Yes. Sorry. Okay. Sure. I'm back on it. Town of Heath Select Board virtual meeting, January 10th, 2022. Sue?
Nothing.
Brian?
Nothing.
And I have nothing. So I'll accept a motion to request a motion to accept the Town of Heath Select Board virtual meeting minutes for January 10th, 2022 as written.
So move.
Second.
Any further discussion? All in favor?
Sue, aye.
Brian, aye.
Robin, aye. January 14. So we have the Town of Heath Select Board virtual meeting minutes for January 14th, 2022. Sue?
Nothing.
Brian?
I have nothing.
And I'll ask for a motion to accept the Town of Heath Select Board virtual meeting minutes for January 14th, 2022 as written.
So move.
Second.
Further discussion? All in favor?
Do I? Aye.
Yeah.
Rob and I. January 18th. We have the Town of Heath Select Board virtual meeting minutes for January 18th, 2021. How about 2022?
Whoops.
First correction, the date. Sue?
Okay, on the second page, the sixth paragraph down that starts with the word construction.
Mm-hmm.
I think the here is supposed to be there. Although there remains.
Yep.
And in the last sentence in that same paragraph, this will involve a scheduled outage that is like not, to, like not.
Likely.
It's like not, you know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then a couple more paragraphs down that begins with the MLP manager.
Okay.
In the last sentence, I think the due to is should be because.
Okay.
Let's see. I don't know which one this goes to. I have a where written here. The town, check with Brian and, while I read this paragraph, check with Brian and Robin and I'll see if I can figure out what I was thinking.
Brian, anything?
I have nothing.
In the motions on the first page, all of the motions to accept the minutes, just take a look at the dates. There's like a one stuck in there. I don't know what
there's
that is.
There's a one stuck in there.
At the end of November. November, I guess the one comes out of each line.
Yep, okay. I suppose. Sue didn't find it.
I know. I can't believe Sue didn't see that one.
I got to leave something for the rest of you.
I was so excited. I'm like, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I had another note here, but I cannot figure out for the life of me now what it meant. So,
is that it?
I guess so.
All right. So, can I have a motion to accept the Town of Heath Select Board virtual meeting minutes for January 18th, 2022, as amended?
So move.
Second.
All in favor?
Do I?
Brian, I did you say that?
Good.
Rob and I. Okay, here we go. January 19. Town of Heath Select Board virtual meeting minutes for January 19th, 2022. Sue?
Nothing.
Brian?
Nothing.
Robin, nothing. So I have a motion to accept the Town of Heath Select Board virtual meeting minutes for January 19th, 2022 as written.
So move.
Second.
All in favor?
Sue, aye.
Brian, aye.
Robin, aye. Yay!
We did it.
We did it. Anything else, Hilma, for tonight? Brian?
No.
Sue?
Nothing.
All right. Like, thank you.
I'm fried.
That's a minutes. 25 sets of minutes this week.
This is great. So I will ask for a motion to, Greg, do you have your hand up for something? Is that you, Greg?
If you guys are all done with your meeting, I'll wait until the very end.
We're going to be done. We're done.
Just one quick question. Hilma, you mentioned about the bridge on 8A being closed for temporary work on, to be worked on. Do you know what were the dates again on those?
I don't know the exact dates, but it will be the 3 or 4 days the week of February 20th.
Okay, because I had a quick conversation with John because I'm actually at the school. I just want to make sure that we can let Colerain for ambulance, their ambulance department know, and then Shelburne Control would be another big concern for any mutual aid coming into the town. That's it.
Okay, thanks, Greg.
I got nothing else. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. Thank you.
That's all right. Thanks, Greg. All right, team. It is 8:51.
I move we adjourn.
Second.
Any further discussion? All in favor?
Sue, aye.
Brian, aye.
Robin, aye. Good night, everybody. Thanks night. For staying with us.
Aye.
Good night, everybody.
Good night. Everyone.